I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU. While most of the country was ensconced in all things solar eclipse yesterday, there was plenty going on in the area. One of the issues casting a long and dark shadow all over the country is opioid abuse. More than 200 members of the Washtenaw County community turned out for a public forum on opioids, mental health, and public safety last night at Saline High School. The community conversation was put forth by Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton, Republican Congressman Tim Walberg, and Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Dingell represents the 12th Congressional District, which covers a big part of Washtenaw County, including Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. And today, she's our guest on 89.1 WEMU. Thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning, David. It's good to be with you.
Opioid abuse and addiction, it's more than a political issue to you. As you shared with the audience in Saline last night, it's something that has touched you and your family in a deeply personal way, right?
I grew up in a household that was deeply touched by opioid drug addiction. My father was addicted to prescription drugs I still have a hard time talking about it.
I can only imagine.
From when I was a young child, and had the addiction throughout my entire childhood. But it was at a time you didn't talk about it. You didn't understand it. I didn't understand his behavior. I thought that his behavior was normal. And I had a baby sister who I loved very much, Mary Grace. The four of us, I had two sisters and a brother. We're very close, because when you grow up in a tumultuous family environment, the siblings bond. And my young sister had a drug problem probably from age 8 or 9 until she ultimately died of a drug overdose in her early 40s. And there's nothing that I didn't go through in trying to fight that drug addiction to get her the help, to get her treatment, to save her life.
And yet, despite all those efforts, would it be fair to characterize a part of your experience as feeling both helpless and hopeless?
Those are probably good words. But I'm not feeling hopeless right now, because I think people are willing to talk about it. We all have a responsibility to remove the stigma associated with drug addiction, but also to remove the stigma of mental health illness. I do believe that many people who are taking opioids or buying drugs on the street or have alcohol addiction are self-treating. They suffer from anxiety or depression or something that they need someone to help them with, and we don't. They can't get mental health treatment, and so they self-medicate with whatever it is that makes them feel better or knocks them out or can hide the underlying problem. And we've really got to talk about this in our community.
Well, we can already start to see the outcomes. It's been going on for decades and is only growing worse. As you know, as family, friends, or even work associates, we don't get to determine the outcomes for those that we know and love who are in the midst of these kinds of addictions or mental health issues. Those in the throes of addiction generally land in one of four categories of outcome. That is jail, a mental institution or hospital, or the graveyard. The other possible outcome is what we all hope for, and that is in recovery. In your estimation, has the decades-long war on drugs done more to produce outcomes in the first three categories instead of recovery?
We don't encourage people to go into recovery. Yes, I agree with you. Too many people are in the prison system, and we've got to do something about social justice reform. The people that are in our jails are disproportionately African Americans. They've been of lower socioeconomic background, and we've got criminal justice reform is what I meant to say. We have to do something about it. People are in the jails that don't belong in the jails. We don't have enough treatment centers. We don't have enough money invested in mental health treatment. I'm somebody that thinks we really need to take a look at the loss too. The desperateness or the panic that I would feel when I would think that my sister was suicidal. I mean, ultimately, she was suicidal. And your inability to get her medical help, your inability to have her put into a hospital setting where she will be safe. it's a decade later, and I still remember that feeling of I need to do something and I can't do anything. We have a crisis in this country. And I have to say to you, last night's town hall, and I was doing another town hall earlier this year in Dearborn, which I thought was going to be one of the typical angry ones, and somehow drug addiction came up. And both of these nights were multi-generational, calm, real conversations of people from very diverse backgrounds, recognizing that we've got a problem. Not a lot of people having answers, but saying, what are we going to do? Let's come together as community. I mean, last night we had a father who lost his son 4 months ago. We had people in recovery. We had people who needed help. It was a very powerful night. And we need to remove that stigma of mental health illness and say to somebody, okay, you've got a problem. Here's how we're going to get you help.
And I want to take that a little bit further. This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Last night, she was among the organizers and presenters at a community forum on mental health, public safety, and the opioid epidemic. Representative Dingell, epidemic is not a word to be taken lightly. In Washtenaw County alone, though, there have been more than 1,100 opioid-related cases reported to public health since 2011, and of those, 329 resulted in death. It's much worse in other parts of the state and in different parts of the country. But in 2015, Michigan had the 15th highest death rate due to drug overdose in the U.S., nearly 2,000 lives lost. As polarized as Congress is right now, you just pointed out that this is an issue that can bring people together. You've partnered with Republican Congressman Tim Walberg, who was also on hand last night, and introduced what is called Jesse's Law. What would that proposal do, and where does it stem from?
Jesse's Law stems from a young woman from Washtenaw County. In March 2016, she lost her life. She was a great student, a loving daughter, a sister, and an avid runner. But she was recovering from opioid addiction. When she had surgery for an infection related to a running injury, her parents were there to take care of her and told her doctors at the hospital that she was a recovering addict and shouldn't be prescribed opioids. Unfortunately, she was discharged from the hospital with 50 oxycodone pills, and she suffered a fatal overdose in the next 24 hours.
So what would Jesse's Law do to change that kind of prescription mishap?
It would require HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, to establish best practices for hospitals and for physicians for sharing information about a patient's past opioid addiction so that this tragic situation can be avoided in the future. We passed the House bill earlier this year, or the Senate passed the bill. We passed it out of committee, and we're confident that we're going to pass the bill in the House after Labor Day. It's just one small piece of the puzzle.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there is this whole issue of the pharmaceutical companies as a powerful lobby in Washington. They appear to have the ability to produce far more addictive painkillers and narcotics than are needed. It's led to a flourishing black market, doctor-run pill farms, and a built-in customer base that, without intervention and recovery, patients will always need that product. When it becomes too expensive, the cheaper alternative, of course, is heroin, which is now regularly laced with fentanyl and often fatal. Are there legislative solutions at least being discussed on that front?
We're looking at, we have a bipartisan task force, both Tim Walberg and I are members of it, of what the different options are that we can pursue to try to get at this. You know, it's funny, David, last week the feds arrested a doctor in Dearborn. And as I was out in the community after it happened, everybody in the community knew that that's where you could go get pills. And they're telling me stories of people lining up to start to get those pills at 8 in the morning, ordering their meals in while waiting to get their pills. We've got on this bipartisan task force, we've put forward an agenda focused on common sense, bipartisan legislation that's going to address this problem from a variety of perspectives, from law enforcement, prevention, treatment, and recovery. And that's what we have to do. It's a complex problem. It's not one thing. It's many things. But it starts with a community saying, we've got a problem. And what you had last night, you had the Opioid Crisis Task Force present there, law enforcement there, teachers there, health professionals there, counselors there, drug treatment experts there, and that's how we're going to get at it. We're going to get at it by getting at the roots of it in our community and saying no to drugs, but we've got to make sure the dollars are there so that people can get treatment. We have to not make people feel stigmatized. If they do need treatment, we got to keep working together too, just to get at this awful disease.
And finally, ultimately, it's going to take the ability to treat everyone equally, and that means those who don't have access to insurance still have access to recovery as well. Is that a possibility, particularly when we're looking at potential rollbacks in insurance possibilities?
We absolutely have to look at it. When we passed the 21st Century Cures Bill last year, we invested money into looking at these issues, and as we talk about what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act, we talk about what's going to happen with Medicaid dollars, we look at other streams of dollars. If we're going to keep our communities whole, we need to make sure we're funding these programs.
Well, Congresswoman Dingell, we will continue this conversation down the line because it's not going anywhere. I thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, the Dearborn Democrat, among those leading a town hall forum at Saline High School Monday night. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.